crowd and the fans eager for something to happen. Stung to center field, backing up Taylor, turning around. That's something happening. J.D. Martinez with a three-run shot.
And the Red Sox with more highlights. Three-run homer by J.D. Martinez in the third inning last night. Give the Red Sox a 3-1 lead. And the boys in blue lose again for the eighth straight time. Royals lose 6-2 the final last night. They're now 33-46 on the season. Had to withstand 2 hours and 21 minutes rain delays just to make it even more painful. Salvador Perez found a way to break out of his recent slump. He went 4-for-4 with a home run and 3 infield singles. But it wasn't enough. Perez 3-for-31 in his last 8 games. Last night, 4-for-4. His second inning homer opened the scoring. It was his first homer in his last 40 at-bats. And, oh, by the way, there is a glimmer of good news, I guess, if you want to take it for what it's worth. And that is Salvador Perez more than likely is going to be the starting catcher in the American League for the American League in the All-Star game coming up in July. So there's always that. It would be his 6th start as a catcher in the American League. So that's pretty cool. Salvi's 31 years of age, man. He's no spring chicken anymore. And he leads American League catchers with 61% of the total votes in the latest All-Star game tallying. How's this for wasting a guy's talents? Whit Merrifield, in the month of June, hit 354. 12 extra base hits, 4 home runs, 17 RBIs, 7 stolen bases. The Royals played 27 games in June, Dusty. You want to guess how many games they won in the month of June? They played 27 total.
Yeah, wasn't it like, because they won the first 3, and is it like 9?
Oh, we only hope that would be the case.
I couldn't remember what it was.
7.
7, okay.
So
that was actually what I was going to say at first, but I was like, they won the first 3, so it has to be more than 7. They had to won more than 4.
Salvi's an all-star, and he's having maybe one of the best years of his career. Witt's tearing it up the month of June, so naturally the Royals win 26% of their games.
Yeah.
In the month of June. 7-20. It's the lowest winning percentage for the Royals since June of 2018 for a month when they went 5-21. They look to avoid the sweep, the 4-game sweep in Boston. 12-10, first pitch this afternoon. Chris Bubich is on the mound to face Boston's Nathan Eovaldi. So that's pretty exciting.
Very exciting.
Very exciting.
I can just hardly contain myself.
Me neither. Mike Minor last night goes only 5 innings. I know there's rain delays. 5 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, only 1 strikeout. Richard Lovelady, I'm telling you, is going to save the day. 1 2/3, hitless baseball. And then Swarzak, a guy that apparently is a cast-off who was, I think, 33. The Royals called up recently. He's just eating some innings, I guess, to buy time for the younger guys for the Royals in the minor league system. So do you sense sarcasm? Yes, it is there. But that's how it is. And the Royals are back to kind of the way they are. And the thing is, when you start 16-9, you're thinking this could be a pretty solid season. You're thinking at least a 500 year, right?
Yeah.
Maybe we can get in the playoffs. Maybe we win the division. 13 games under 500 now. And why do teams have losing streaks? For instance, why do teams have long losing streaks?
I mean, the top of that list is because they don't have a pitcher that can stop it, right?
Bingo. They don't have a stopper. They have no ace. Like, the Royals could have an ace and 4 average pitchers, but odds are every 5th day they're going to feel pretty good about we're going to win one of the next 2 starts because our ace is on there.
Yeah.
Like, if it's Justin Verlander or Max Scherzer or Steven Strasburg, whoever your ace is, they don't have that. And thus, they're very susceptible. Not only that, they don't have an ace, but they don't have really 4 solid starters after that, or average, really, to be quite honest with you. The only guy that's capable of being an ace would be maybe Danny Duffy, and he's coming off the IL. So the Royals, why are they susceptible to long losing streaks? Well, there's a couple of reasons, but the biggest is they don't have a guy that's going to go out and throw a complete game shutout or go shut out a team for 7 innings. God forbid the Royals have a starter get to the 7th, let alone pitch 7 innings and save the bullpen. They have nobody to do that. Nobody on this team can do that. And thus, they will continue to struggle as long as their starting pitching continues to do what they do, and that is, let's gut out 5 innings and give up 5 or 6 runs. And with the way this offense has been this year, that is a horrible recipe for success. And thus, the Royals are 13 games under 500. And since they started 16-9, let's do the math. They're 17-37. That's one of the worst records in baseball. They're 33-46. I hate to be Debbie Downer, but I don't see this really turning around. I mean, yeah, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Yes, the Royals will have a stretch where they'll win 6 out of 8. I don't see them going on in some 9-game winning streak. They will have a stretch again where they'll lose probably 6 in a row or 8 in a row. Or who knows? They might lose 12 in a row. Mm-hmm. Well, right now, they might lose 12 in a row. They just don't have the type of things you need to stop streaks. They don't have a stopper. They don't have a guy offensively that can carry them for a week. They just don't. You know, and it's interesting. The Royals aren't the only team dealing with this. You know, my son and I were talking about this when we picked him up from basketball in Manhattan yesterday. I was talking to him about this, and we were talking about Ohtani, and we'll talk to him about him in a moment, the two-way player for the Angels. And he got roughed up last night. And I said, well, you know, everybody has a bad day. You know, he's the MVP right now. He plays both ways in baseball. How is he not the MVP? One of the league leaders in home runs. He's in the top 5 in pitching categories. You know, and he goes, my son goes, man, the Angels, you get Trout back, just look out. And I'm like, son, they weren't very good with them both healthy because they don't have great starting pitching either. Think about this for a moment. The Angels have Mike Trout, arguably the best player in baseball, when healthy. And he continues to do it year in and year out. They've got the MVP, supposedly, in Ohtani right now. And you know what the Angels' record is? They're 2 games under .500.
Yeah, I know. Not good.
They're 4th in their division. So what do 2 superstar players bring you? Now, granted, the Angels would probably be maybe a little bit above .500 with Trout. Don't get me wrong. But they'd still be 4th in their division.
Yeah.
So the Angels, we've seen it before. They've wasted all these years with Trout, and I feel like the Royals are wasting these years of Salvi and certainly Witt, because Witt wasn't a part of those teams that won World Series in 14-15 on the main roster. Salvi at least got to go through that. When you look at Major League Baseball and you look at the Angels, they have 2 of the best players in baseball. And even when they were healthy early in the year, they weren't tearing it up.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? The reason that happens in baseball, you can have a superstar, and that doesn't translate to you being a winning baseball team. You can have the best hitter in baseball. It doesn't translate to winning and getting in the playoffs. Mike Trout's proof of that, okay? You can have the best pitcher in baseball. That doesn't and turn into you're going to win your division. You can have the best starter in baseball, and you have a horrible bullpen. It don't matter. You have to – and baseball is probably the most – honestly, baseball – of the 3 major sports, between baseball, and like I said, soccer's gaining on them, baseball, basketball, and football, baseball is the one that needs, it sounds weird to say when a pitcher and catcher hold on to the ball most of the game, but baseball is most dependent on the team winning games.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Oh, well, sure.
Because obviously baseball has 9 players on the field at once. You got 9 different guys that are in the lineup. In basketball, you have 5 guys on the floor, and one guy can carry you. We just saw Chris Paul carry the Suns last night in the 4th quarter. One guy can carry you for a quarter. He can carry you for a game. He can carry you for a series.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? A superstar can dominate and control a whole playoff series. LeBron's done that. Jordan's done that. Kobe's done it. Magic did it. Bird did it. I mean, it's happened many times.
Yeah. Please.
So in the NBA, you don't have to have a great team per se. You got to have the right mix and chemistry. Don't get me wrong. But if you have a superstar in the NBA, odds are you're at least going to make the playoffs. In baseball, that's not even close. In football, you can have an average or even maybe below average offensive line, and we've seen that. And you can have quarterbacks lead your teams to the playoffs and even get to the Super Bowl or even win the Super Bowl. Once again, I go back to the Chiefs a couple years ago. They won the Super Bowl. Their offensive line was good, solid, wasn't awesome. At times, wasn't good, but was solid. Last year, it was a mess because of injuries, and they still were able to get all the way to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we think that happened? Because they have a few superstars, like Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and, oh, yeah, a guy named Patrick Mahomes. So the NFL, you can overcome a lot of deficiencies because star players can do some great things. Like, how many times did Mahomes overcome horrible defense in his first year as a starter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you can be flawed as an NFL team and still have success, win games, have a winning record, make the playoffs, and every once in a while you might be able to make it all the way to the Super Bowl. You can have a major flaw, and you can cover it up if you have a gigantic strength. The NBA, you can do the same thing. You can have a guy that is a defensive liability but can score a lot. You can cover that up on one end, compensate on another end, or you can sub in players left and right. Baseball, you can't sub in players left and right.
No.
Can you?
No.
You have a pinch hitter, and then the guy's out for the rest of the game. You can't sub him back in. You can't bring back a pitcher in the sixth inning after he pitched for get one guy out in the third inning. So baseball is a unique sport, and so it is very less likely that there is a player that's going to dominate and carry a team for an extended period of time. Now, there are exceptions. You know, Reggie Jackson, Mr. October, unbelievable. I mean, games, home runs, this and that. We saw Carlos Beltran do a great job for the Astros when they had their run years back. I'm sure there's other examples. But it's a lot less likely in baseball. So you have a great, unbelievable superstar that doesn't translate into winning or even making the playoffs, whereas it does in probably every other professional sport, team sport, especially when it comes to basketball and football. I mean, I can't think of a great quarterback whose team didn't make the playoffs last year unless they were hurt.
Yeah.
I can't think of an absolute stud NBA player whose team didn't make the playoffs this year. I'm sure there's talented players that, like Zion, his team didn't make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But he's not a superstar yet. So it is interesting when you look at it. So Trout and Ohtani on the same team, and the Angels are two games under 500. Granted, Trout's on the IL right now. But the Angels have had Trout's had some unbelievable years. And then here comes the old argument. How can you be the most valuable player of the league if your team has a losing record? How valuable are you? Should a guy from a losing team be the MVP? I think Ohtani should be the MVP, but his team has a losing record.
Yeah, then you have to equate how terribly bad they would be if he wasn't on the team.
Exactly.
Right?
Kind of like wins above replacement.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, That's right. Exactly what it is.
Because I've always said LeBron's the MVP every year in the NBA, maybe until this year. But every year he's healthy, he's the MVP, just like Jordan was every time. They just automatically should give it to him every year.
Yeah.
Because we've seen what LeBron did wherever he went. He leaves Cleveland, they go in the toilet. He comes back to Cleveland, they win a championship. Miami's average. He goes to Miami, they win. Lakers aren't very good. He goes to L.A. Within 2 years, they win a championship. I mean, it's clear. The most valuable player in the league in his prime, without question, Jordan was, LeBron is, but they don't give the MVP to the guy every single year, do they? They gave it to Russell Westbrook 1 year because he got a whole bunch of triple-doubles. Now he does the exact same thing in Washington and doesn't even get a MVP vote. So baseball is, it's great to have superstars, and we talk about how baseball doesn't market their superstars very well. Maybe that's part of the reason. It doesn't equate into winning as often as it does in other sports. I still think they missed the boat and they should market their players a lot better because the younger generation, it doesn't identify with teams as much as they do individuals, which is not really a great thing if you're into team sports. There's no I in team, but that's the way things are going, which ties into what we're going to talk about at the end of the show, which is name, image, and likeness, and college athletes now going to be able to make it about them and make money for themselves, not for the university or for the team.
Yeah, as far as baseball, I think there's just kind of always been different the way they do their MVPs because it's not always like somebody that's on even a playoff team, right? Like
right.
It's those guys that really just stand out, right? Like Mike Trout's won it, I think, when the Angels have him in the playoffs. And and so, you know, the baseball's a little bit different. And I think that's because of the fact that, you know, one guy is not just carrying them to that gaudy record, you know. And baseball is a sport where you just got to, everything's got to be put together for you to win. Like you, and I know that other sports are like that too, but you're not working in sync all the time in baseball, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a team sport, but individuals really have to perform.
Yes.
In separate entities from, like basketball, there's five guys on the floor working for a common goal, right? They're all doing the same thing at the same time. Time clocks running at the same, you know. You got to rely on pitchers making the right pitches. You got to rely on outfielders being in the right spot. And I know that that's all the case in football and basketball too.
Sure.
But it's more in sync, right? It's more you've got to be working together all the time.
Basketball, the ball's in basketball, the ball's in your hands. Like you can be LeBron and you just put everybody and get the heck out of the way.
Yeah.
And the other four players, like last night, if you saw the Chris Paul, when he shot one of his last threes, Devin Booker was standing at half court, completely out of the play on purpose, with a guy defending him, and basically knew Paul was going to make the shot. And it just goes to show you don't need five guys playing. I mean, you can just back up and let a guy get hot. But here's the thing. The ball's in his hands. He can make the shots. You could say, well, the pitcher has the ball in his hands. Well, the pitcher can make the greatest pitch ever, and that's only strike one.
Yeah.
That doesn't automatically get an out or score any points or runs, whereas a basketball player, he has the ball in his hands, shot clock winding down, throws up a three and swishes it. He just scored 3 points for your team. The pitcher can go out and make three great pitches, strike out one guy. Well, he's got two more batters to get in the inning.
Yeah.
So you have control in regards to you have the ball in your hands a lot, but you can't control the other guy, you know, obviously, if he's going to even swing at the pitch, whereas you know you're taking a shot that's going to either score or miss. Whereas baseball, you pitch the ball to the batter. I mean, for all you know, you can throw 25 pitches in a row. Nobody's going to swing the bat. And then you got to also depend on the umpire actually having the right eyes to call a ball and a strike. It is a unique and different sport.
Yeah.
And even though it depends a lot on two guys, most of the time in possession of the ball, they're not ever scoring opportunities. So the scoring opportunities rely on one swing of the bat for a homer, or you've got to have another guy get on base and then be able to run the bases and score. Whereas NBA player, all I got to do is get the pass and chuck it.
Yeah.
In football, I get the snap and I got to throw it. And yes, I need time to throw it quickly to a receiver and he has to make a catch. It's still, there's team elements. Don't get us wrong. But in baseball, you really need a lot of things to go right to be a really good team. And even though you have a superstar or an all-star that's a great player, doesn't translate into winning where it usually does in those other sports.
Yeah.
I mean, what team has a superstar quarterback that's bad? What NFL team is not good, has a losing record with a superstar quarterback? I can't think of one. What about...
Yeah, and then that
only when they get hurt
to
do they
be,
have a losing
like,
record.
You're regarded as a superstar quarterback because you win too most
right,
of the time,
true,
right?
True. But I'm even talking about, you know, even superstar quarterbacks, if they even have a down year, they still are good.
Yeah.
You know, you could have a down year and they're still good. Whereas it just in basketball, I mean, obviously the great players make their teams better. The superstars make their teams better. And there's less players on the floor or there's less players for the team on the floor, five, and you can get four of them out of the way. So baseball is a unique sport. And so you can have a great, great player. And that's why I've always thought baseball, the owners that give these gigantic contracts for Bryce Harper, Harper was a catcher back in the day. He wasn't very good. He was good. He was a major league catcher, but not as good as Bryce Harper. But I've always just shuddered when teams, especially middle-sized market teams, small market teams rarely do it. But I've said this 1,000 times. Gigantic contracts in baseball rarely work out. They give so much money. I mean, even Albert Pujols, to me, was not a great contract. Josh Hamilton was a horrible contract. And guess which team did that? The Angels.
Yeah.
And with Pujols, they already had Trout. So they needed pitching. They needed to spend their money on pitching, what they needed to do. They didn't. So you see the gigantic contracts. Machado gets a giant contract with the Padres. Tatis got a big one now. The Padres are having a winning season, but they're third in their division right now. Now, part of that's bad luck. They're in the best division in baseball. Bryce Harper, what has he won?
Nothing.
Individual awards here and there, but Bryce Harper's team, he leaves the Nationals, then they win. That's not a coincidence, in my opinion. Mm. Bryce, and that's not a knock on Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper leaves the Nationals. The Nationals didn't spend, what was it, $300 million on Bryce Harper. They let him go, even though they tried to keep him. The Phillies outbid. They get his services. What have the Phillies done since they got Bryce Harper? What have the Nationals done since Bryce Harper left? What did the Cardinals do after Albert Pujols signed his big deal with the Angels? The Cardinals went to the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it almost seems like when you give these gigantic contracts in baseball, you're asking for trouble. Whereas if you get the big contracts out in football, it usually, at least for quarterbacks, typically pays off. Not always, but typically. And in the NBA, it usually does. So you identify the right players in basketball and football, and that is a much better investment, giving these guys big-time deals. Where in baseball, the first few years might be good, but after that, all in all, wasn't good contracts. Why is that? Why do teams get better when the superstar leaves for a ton of money elsewhere? Because now that team has more resources to go spend on other parts of their team because other parts of the team are more important in baseball because a superstar just isn't as likely to carry a baseball team. And on top of that, baseball has a much longer season. So you're not going to have a guy carry you 162 games.
Yeah, it's just the whole thing about it is just a different dynamic. Like, it's just not.
So why do people just keep spending – why do owners keep giving out the gigantic contracts to superstar baseball players knowing that it doesn't mean that you win? Like, to me, pitching makes some sense. Mm-hmm. You have a stopper. But giving position players this unbelievable amount of money, it just doesn't usually work. It actually makes you almost worse.
Yeah. Unless you're just on a free-for-all spending money like the Padres did, right?
Right.
And they've reaped a little bit of the benefits of it. They made the playoffs last year, and they're in line probably this year to do so again with the wild cards and everything. But, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of teams do it just to get themselves relevant again sometimes, just to like, hey, yeah, nobody's talking about the
marketing.
Let's go sign Bryce Harper, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get him in here, and even if our team isn't doing great, we've got to – you know, a pull, like a star to draw fans in, right?
Right.
I think that's why some of them do it. But I just, it's just not. But then again, if you want the guy, some team's going to have to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some team's going to have to pull the trigger and pay Bryce Harper that money.
Sure.
And some team's going to have to pull the trigger and pay Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis that money. But it just doesn't seem to.
But if all the teams would wise up and say, look, let's look at these contracts and study this, 9 of the last 10 gigantic contracts, the team that lost that star player have gotten better, and the team that signed the player got worse. And then all of a sudden, you know what the Scott Boras will start saying? Collusion. No, not to me, it's not collusion. It's we've come to our senses.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We just come to our senses. And I think baseball is coming to our senses. Some of the owners... front offices in regards to not giving the farm for a guy to rent for 2 months to try to win a championship, get in the playoffs or win a championship. They're valuing prospects more than they have in the past. And I think part of that is we got service time. We can keep salaries lower and we don't put all the money into one player, or you keep the salaries lower for guys that, you know, are starting to accumulate service time. And then you can afford to maybe go get a guy or a splash and get a higher profile player. Mm-hmm. So it is interesting how it works. Major League Baseball last night, a couple of crazy comebacks. Did you see these?
I didn't, actually.
The Brewers were down 7-0 before they came to the plate last night. And by the fourth inning, they were ahead 8-7. What was this, beer league softball? They came back with 15 unanswered. They were down 7-0 and not even had hit yet.
I did see that score, but I didn't see how
it
happened.
They won 15-7.
Yeah, I saw 15-7. I was like, whoa.
So that's why you don't leave the ballpark after the first half inning, which odds are you probably didn't. 15-7 was the final. How about last night, the Yankee game? We were just talking about Ohtani, who has been unbelievable this year. Two-way star. He gave up 7 runs in the first inning last night. The same thing happened to the Brewers. The Brewers were down 7-0. The Angels were down 7 runs. And guess what happened? They both came back and won. Mm. When's the last time that's ever happened? Probably never.
Yeah.
On the same day? So they were down 3 runs during a lengthy rain delay in the fifth. And the Angels waited out an hour and a half rain delay, which was the second of the game in New York, and it worked out perfectly. They overcame a 4-run deficit in the ninth. They scored 7 in the ninth, including a grand slam after Aroldis Chapman walked the bases loaded, then the grand slam. There's a reason when you say walks come back to kill you. 3 walks, grand slam, cleared the bases. And the Angels came back and won 11-8. Now, Ohtani should have a loss on his record that would hurt him for the Cy Young and MVP, and that's the no decision because his team bailed him out, coming back and winning 11-8. That's 2 crazy comebacks.
Yeah, it is. You'd have to do some pretty good research to find out if that's ever happened before, but I'll bet it hasn't.
Today is July 1st. It's the first day of the second half of 2021. Is it just me, or is 2021 going a lot faster in 2020?
Yeah, I was like, I left last night, you know, it was a little after midnight when I got everything done. I'm like, who approved July? Like,
yes.
Who said it could be July already? Like, yeah, it's going quick.
You know what's really, really, really special about July 1st? There is one former Major League Baseball player that absolutely has to be counting his money and just can't wait to look for the direct deposit into his account every July 1st. Do you know who I'm talking about?
It's Bobby Bonilla Day.
It's Bobby Bonilla
Let's
Day!
Let's do it.
Bobby Bonilla Day. I wish I could be Bobby Bonilla. Bobby Bonilla, July 1st. You remember Bobby Bonilla? Well, if you're older, you do. You're younger, you don't. But this is how you can relate. Bobby Bonilla, every July 1st gets paid $1.19 million by the New York Mets. If you don't know who Bobby Bonilla is, you're probably like, well, he's probably, what, a decent player? Yeah, 20 years ago! That's right, he hasn't played in the majors in 2 decades. 2001, it's been 20 years since Bobby Bonilla has played Major League Baseball. And guess what? He will get $1.19 million every July 1st until he's 72 years of age. Today and every year through 2035, it will be Bobby Bonilla Day. I don't know what we do in 2036 on July 1st, but at least
well,
up
Mets
to that.
The Mets celebrate. I'm going to tell you that.
Yeah,
right
the Mets
now.
Are going to have. It's not Bobby Bonilla Day. Yeah. Are you kidding me? It's crazy. Every year we talk about this. $1.19 million, Bobby Bonilla gets the cash or direct deposit in his account every July 1st like clockwork until he's 72. That is just... America's a great place, man. America's a great place. That's insane. Hey, there's a new champion in college baseball, and it is a college team that wins their first ever national championship in any sport.
Pushes a bunt to third. James to first. He's out! What a way to end it! And what a way to end a drought! Mississippi State, the national champions, destroying Vanderbilt 9-0.
Weird best 2 out of 3 series in the championship series there in Omaha, College World Series of Baseball. Game 1, Vandy rolled. Game 2, Mississippi State won 13-2. Game 3, 9-0. None of these games were close. There was no drama to this one, other than game 3, who's going to win. Last night, Vanderbilt had one of their aces, Kumar Rocker, on the hill, who a lot of Royals fans are all excited about trying to get him. He didn't look that good last night. His velocity dropped a little bit, too. And the way the Royals handle pitchers, he probably won't get any better if he does get drafted by the Royals. Sorry, low blow, but, you know, the proof's in the pudding. Danny Duffy's the only decent pitcher of the Royals, along with Zach Greinke, that they've developed over the last 20 years, drafted and developed. And Greinke had to take a leave of absence for a while. So Mississippi State wins their first ever national championship in any sport. Vanderbilt one win short. How many times do we see it? I said it yesterday on the show. I would have picked Mississippi State to win yesterday. We didn't actually make predictions because I just go with history. I go with history on these types of things. When teams are trying to go back to back, it rarely happens. Football's completely different. I think you can. Obviously, Alabama can. Clemson can. Although those two kind of knock each other off, as we've seen over the years recently. But in baseball, I would think it's even harder to go back-to-back because of the things we just talked about earlier. And Vanderbilt won it in 2019. Last year, of course, it was canceled due to COVID-19, and then their one win away. But Kumar Rocker, junior right-hander, likely a top-10 pick in the upcoming draft, and some people already say that he's going to be slotted to go to the Royals, whatever. He did not pitch very well last night in a big game. He was the College World Series MVP outstanding player a couple years ago when they won it all, but didn't have it last night. And that happens to the best of them. And Mississippi State wins their first ever national championship 9-0 over Vanderbilt. Bad news for K-State fans. You're now one of two exclusive members of the Haven't Won a National Title Club. If you don't know the story, K-State fans, I'm sure glad that I bring this up. But K-State has not won a national championship in any sport. And neither has Virginia Tech. And that's it in regards to the Power 5 conference schools. Every other school in Power 5 has won a championship, a national championship, in at least one sport. Mississippi State is now off that list. So it's the race to see who doesn't want to be the last one on there. So let me ask you, of course, this is going to be a biased opinion, and it's fine. That's why I throw it out there. Although, who knows? Dusty might say something different. I don't know. That's why I ask. Who is the most likely to be the last one on that list? Or shall I revise the question and say it and rephrase it this way? Which school will win a national championship in a sport first, Virginia Tech or K-State? Because that's only two that are left.
I don't know the ins and outs of the Virginia Tech program, but I would probably say Virginia Tech.
Yeah. Why do you say that?
Because I know the ins and outs of the K-State program, and I don't see anything coming real soon. Let's just say that.
Baseball's getting better.
Baseball is getting better. I kind of look at, like the sport that you've gotten closest to, right, is in football.
That's right.
And, like, with all the things that are coming on down the pike here and with what we're going to talk about at the end of the show and just the off balance of the power structure of college football, I just – that's not the sport I see it happening in anytime soon. So, there's work in the other sports.
Yes.
To get to, I mean, well, I know baseball's improving, but
baseball might be their best bet.
I was thinking that last night, yeah. Like when I was thinking about that, because I actually was thinking about it. Like, can K-State ever do it? Like,
K-State has no softball program.
No.
Baseball's getting better. They probably should have been in the NCAA tournament this year. Men's basketball, you know, there's always a, there's honestly, there's a better chance of all the sports. Men's basketball probably has the best chance. And you may start laughing. Well, come on, Bruce Weber's a coach and we weren't any good. No, no, no. What I mean is you can get in, if you just get an NCAA tournament, we've seen 11 seeds make it to the national championship game. I mean, you can get hot for 2 weeks and you got a better chance of winning a college basketball national championship than any other sport when you really look at it in regards to the main sports. Now, I don't know other sports. I don't know the situation with soccer, women's soccer, men's soccer, things like that. Football, I think there's two ways of looking at it. I totally get your point, which we'll talk about in a little bit, the name, image, and likeness. That, I think, will probably make it harder for K-State. But I will say the flip side of that is they are going to expand the football playoff in a couple of years to where more teams get in. K-State has a much better chance of making the playoffs, as does every team in America. And once you get into that dance, you've now got to, you know, get a favorable matchup, and then you're going up against a team you're a heavy underdog to, and their quarterback gets hurt, or something weird happens, and you get two punt returns for touchdowns, and you win. Next thing you know, you're on the doorstep of winning a national title like they were in 1998. So there's two ways to look at that. But, yeah, I think if I had the pick, I would say Virginia Tech's probably more likely to win a national title in the sport than K-State. But I think right now their best bet to win a national championship, it might be baseball. And that sounds weird because they didn't even make the tournament this year. The better odds is you just get hot and you can be a lower seed and still make a run the NCAA tournament in basketball. And in football, even if you do make the playoff, is K-State going to beat Alabama and Clemson's and Ohio State's of the world? And it might be harder, of course, with the new NIL that we're going to talk about, NIL coming up in a little bit. So it's kind of interesting, but it does have to suck for K-State and Virginia Tech fans to keep seeing that. We're one of only two Power Five institutions that have not won a national title in any sport. We're talking any sport, not just football, basketball, baseball. We're talking any sport. Volleyball, you know, volleyball. Nebraska's got all kinds of championships in football. They got national titles in volleyball.
Yeah.
So they got a couple sports they got multiple championships in.
And you think about back, K-State had some really good women's basketball and volleyball teams in the early 2000s.
But the basketball team really was never close to winning a title. They couldn't even get past the Sweet 16. Yeah. The men's basketball team back in the, 70s, you know, when Rolando Blackman, those days, that's when K-State had a really good chance in men's basketball. But the landscape is different now, so we shall see. Or maybe neither one will ever win a national championship in any sport.
History proves that that's capable of happening, right?
Yes, like, right.
Like, they haven't done it yet, and there's been a lot of years to do it, right?
Yes, sir, absolutely. NBA playoffs last night. The Suns are going on to the NBA Finals.
Paul step back three-pointer, puts it in, and the foul. Paul for three, puts it in. 118-92. The Suns have blown it open.
As the seconds tick down, the Western Conference Finals are done. The Phoenix Suns, for the first time in 28 years, are going back to the NBA Finals.
They're fun to watch. No Cam Johnson last night. Other guys stepped up. Torrey Craig stepped up. Obviously Paul stepped up with 41, 31 in the second half. After 16 seasons, 5 franchises, 123 playoff games, Chris Paul has officially taken his name out of the running for the title of being the best basketball player to never make the NBA Finals. Paul was absolutely brilliant last night in a 130-103 Game 6 road win over the Clippers. First time in the finals in 28 years, as Mike Breen, you just heard him say. Paul with 41 last night, 31 in the second half, 8 assists, no turnovers, which I have a problem with that here in a moment. I'll tell you why. He made a huge shot after a huge shot in the second half. You know, they were up 17, and the Clippers scored 10 in a row, got it down to 7, and then Paul took over. He scored 24, Phoenix's next 30 points. He just got red hot. Once he hit that first three, it was like, uh-oh, look out. Shame on me for not seeing this coming in regards to Paul had been really rusty and not shooting the ball well. He was bound to break out. I just didn't think it was going to be last night. He had the distinction of owning the most playoff wins of any All-Star who never made the finals, but he don't have to worry about that list anymore. So Mississippi State takes himself off that list we referred to. Now Paul can take himself off of this list. Chris Paul was sensational, especially in that fourth quarter last night. And he talks about getting to the NBA Finals for the first time in his NBA career, which, remember, when he went to OKC, there are a lot of people that said, he's a declining player, and he's older, and he can't stay healthy.
I'm just so happy for all the people around me. You know what I mean? And to do it here in L.A. with the Clippers, this is my family, too. I gave 6 hard years to the Clippers. We fought hard. A lot of these fans, Billy Crystal, that's my family. You know what I mean? So to do it here against a team that I got the utmost respect for, I'll always be a Clipper. I love these fans. You know what I mean? But this crew right here, this game right here, man, since day one, they welcomed me with open arms. Coach, we did this 10 years ago in New Orleans, and we still got a lot of work to do, but we're going to enjoy this. And my family up top, I love y'all. That's my game. Straight up, 16 years of this. 16 years, surgeries, hard work, losses, bad losses. But we're going to enjoy tonight.
They should. Phoenix wins, making my prediction yesterday bad, obviously. You know, the Clippers, I thought, ran out of gas there in the second half, too. And in fairness, they played a lot more games in the playoffs. Remember, they had to go 7 games in the first. Well, they went 6 with the Jazz, I guess. But they had to play 13 games, and the Suns had to play 10. So 3 more games. And then no Kawhi Leonard, you know, for the whole, well, pretty much the whole series. And they eventually caught up to him. I think the Clippers had a heck of a year. I think they had a heck of a run. And they have no reason to be ashamed or hang their heads after compared to what last year when they blew a 3-1 lead. I think the Clippers met as much as they could with the injuries. I mean, Zubac was out again for 2 straight games. They got Reggie Jackson, Marcus Morris kept them alive. Paul George had some great games. But without, you know, Kawhi Leonard, they won the series without Kawhi in the last part of the series of Jazz. That was impressive. They were able to get 2 games, and had they not given up the alley-oop in game 2, we might be talking about going to game 7, which more likely probably we would have, and who knows what would happen. And so it's a game of inches and seconds and all that. But the Clippers, I thought, had a pretty good year for the first year under Ty Lue, and obviously caught a bad break with Kawhi being hurt.
I'm going to tell you right now, my opinion, Ty Lue changed a lot this year.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, everybody said falls just into that LeBron. Trap, right? He's got a ring because of LeBron.
Because
right?
of LeBron.
It's the only reason he won his ring.
Right, sure.
And but now, I mean, like, you legitimately look at it like Ty Lue's better than Doc Rivers.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, he took this same team without Kawhi Leonard to the Western Conference Finals, has the same amount of rings, right? I mean, you can add it all up, right? And I've been saying that in our group chat that we have. And it's like, it's really crazy to me that the Clippers were able to do what they were able to do.
He's
without 10-3 Kawhi.
when facing elimination.
Yeah,
now.
And it's like, my opinion of him has changed.
I agree with you.
We've gone a 180 on Ty Lue.
Which Ty Lue played at the University of Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. He's from Kansas City.
And I didn't, I didn't know if that would be a successful venture or not. But I think there's a lot of people that were like, why are the Clippers going so hard after Ty Lue? He's only got a ring because of LeBron. Well, you've got to take a flyer and a chance on somebody. And why not take a chance on somebody that has won a ring, whether you feel like they
and you got rid of a guy that had a ring
in
Doc Rivers.
Exactly. And it's like, why not take a chance on a guy that has a ring on his finger? Who cares how he got it?
Yeah.
If you feel like this is your guy, go get him. And the Clippers didn't waver on that. They went and got him. And I feel like, if they can get healthy, get the right guys playing a full playoffs, they're on the upswing here, right?
No doubt.
But obviously, I think Kawhi's a free agent. But they got to do some things to where
he can opt out.
Yeah, he can opt out.
Right.
Yeah,
he technically isn't.
And I don't know if he will or not. Now that with the injuries and stuff like that, he might want to just keep the money that he's got coming.
True.
Who knows? But a lot of times they will opt out and then just restructure, get a better contract.
Well, there are questions about his health before he signed the big contract.
Exactly.
You know, odds are he'll get his money.
The Clippers don't have anything to hang their heads about. I don't feel like. I mean, obviously you want to get to the finals and that's your goal. And and you feel like you were pretty close to it. But no, I don't. The Clippers were impressive to me.
Marcus Morris had a great series. Former Jayhawk, 26 last night, 4 3-pointers. DeMarcus Cousins showed some glimpses of doing some good things. So maybe that's a guy they can keep around next year to help him out. You know, George, only 21 last night, but, carrying a big load. And he was going to come down to earth after a great game 5. So you expected that. But the Suns, I mean, this is why the Suns are so cool, I think. They're actually hot because they're the Suns. But, you know, Paul goes for 41, but he only had 10 going into the second half. Jay Crowder had 5 3-pointers in this game. He had 4 in the first half. He had 19 points. And one for foul trouble, he might have scored more. DeAndre Ayton, 16 points, 17 rebounds. Only 10 shots, 8 out of 10 from the floor. Cameron Payne last night played 15 minutes, looked better. And that gave Paul more rest. That was important. Monty Williams made a really good move, I thought. It was about, a minute and a half to go in the third quarter, and they were up 17, and then the Suns' lead was down to 7 just like that. And he usually has Paul go. He sits out the rest of that third quarter. He brought Paul back in because Payne had forced a couple shots. He brought Paul back in, and Paul, what'd he do? Boom. Bucket, three-pointer. Next thing you know, 5 points, and they're up 12. And that's what you do with your players. You got to pick the spots and don't be stuck in your routine. And I think that's a great thing and a sign of a great coach or a very good coach in Monty Williams. Listen, this might slip away here. I'm not taking any chances. Mm-hmm. Chris Paul can rest tomorrow, which he rested. He missed the first two games. Let's not be worried about rest. Yeah. We're worried about him getting hurt. I get that. But, you know, you go back to the first game of the series of the playoffs. Chris Paul hurt his shoulder against the Lakers, and you're sitting here going, that's it. Mm-hmm. There's the Chris Paul jinx. I know I did. I thought he was done, and I thought the Suns were done. And it's great. And then he gets COVID, or he had it, or whatever. Who knows? We don't really know the whole story there. Must he have.
Say he did.
Yeah. He was vaccinated, but I guess vaccination doesn't protect you completely. That's comforting. So Chris Paul comes back, and he was rusty for a while in regards to his offense, and then he broke out last night. And he has been clutch, and he's very good at closing out series or games. And if you're ever, you know, one of the best things to have as a coach is a security blanket. And when it comes to any basketball coach at any level, when you have a lead, the security blanket is a point guard that's going to make good decisions, and he's going to step up to the line and make free throws. And then you know you're not going to lose a game because the ball is going to be in his hands almost all the time. He's not going to make dumb decisions and lose the ball, turn it over, and he's going to get fouled. And he's going to go make free throws. That's a great security blanket to have. And Chris Paul is that security blanket. And, you know, when he went to the Suns right away, I was like, dude, that takes the Suns up a gigantic notch.
No question.
I thought the Suns were immediately
a contender. The way they finished last year, and then you add Chris Paul, I mean, it was obvious. Jay Crowder was a big pickup, too, by the way.
Yeah. Defensively, especially. Yeah.
So it was not obvious they're going to make the finals, per se, but it's obvious that that team's going to make the playoffs and probably put a good run together.
Yeah. I think we talked about before the season that they could be a top four seed, and they were their number two seed. And they'll have home court in NBA finals as well. You know, Booker was pretty decent last night, got off to a good start. He had 22. They've got different guys that can hurt you, and they've had Paul out, and they still won. Cam Johnson didn't play, still won. Mikal Bridges hasn't played well in spots, still won. Cameron Payne barely played, still won. They just find ways to win, even when guys are – because they're deep. They have depth. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not the Nets where they have three gigantic superstars and then you don't know who's going to finish out the roster. And that's why I think it's refreshing they're going to the NBA Finals without the gigantic, you know – I mean, they do have a duo of superstars, Paul and Booker, but it's not like teams have been put together. Paul came over. Booker, a lot of people didn't know how good he could be or what he was, even though he played well in the bubble last year. And when they went 8-0 and almost made the playoffs. And then Ayton is a rising star. A lot of people didn't know much about him. Now they're on national stage, and you're sitting there going, oh, my God, they got three superstars, Paul, Ayton, and Booker. Yeah, and two of them were drafted. So they get credit for drafting and developing these guys, too, and then Paul put them over the hump.
Yeah.
So I think it's refreshing that they're in the finals. I think it's awesome.
You got a team here. They put it together like the Warriors did, right? Like,
yeah, they did.
You know, have your homegrown guys go get a free agent, bring him in to put you over the top. And, and that's exactly what they did this summer after I think it went a little quicker than the Warriors, obviously. But, you know, they've got homegrown guys that they trusted. And I mean, Devin Booker's not new to this. Like,
it's the sixth season.
Yeah, and he's only had one season where he averaged less than 22 points a game. So, I mean, he
scored 70 in a game.
We're seeing who he is now, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, you look at their lineup here. Mikal Bridges, drafted, starter. DeAndre Ayton, top pick, starter. Devin Booker, first-round pick, starter. Okay. Jay Crowder, they picked up. He's a starter. Good defensive player. Hits the outside shot. Picked him up. Chris Paul, he's your point guard. Picked him up. They grabbed Cameron Payne off the scrap heap in the offseason. He is a very good backup point guard. Torrey Craig, they picked up as he was a free agent with the Nuggets, who had experience in the playoffs, made it to the Western Conference Finals a year ago. That shouldn't be overlooked. He played some good minutes last night. Mm-hmm. Cam Johnson, developed by the team. Very key role player. So the Suns have done a combination of drafting, developing their players, and then getting the piece or two to put them over the hump. And I think that's what the OKC Thunder are going to try to do.
Yeah.
With all those draft picks that they've accumulated. One quick thing before we move on to the Hawks-Bucks tonight, and then we'll get to the college athletes making money that's officially allowed to happen today. They have Chris Paul with no turnovers. He had a turnover. Are we like the Major League Baseball official scorers? Oh, he's got a no-hitter going. Oh, man, that was a hit. Oh, let's make up an error. Or I really like that guy. That was a routine play. That should be an error. Nah, we'll go ahead and give him a hit. Don't want to hurt his chances for a gold glove. It's convenient official scoring, as I call it. You see it in baseball a lot more. Mm-hmm. Well, last night, Chris Paul turned the ball over in the backcourt. I know he did. I saw it. He slipped and fell, was claiming for a foul, turned it over, and there's a foul. And they have here, he has no turnovers. That would be a turnover. So somehow, conveniently, Chris Paul doesn't have one turnover. Now, it's no big deal. I mean, still, you know, he had 8 assists and 1 turnover. That's still a heck of a ratio. Mm-hmm. But I read the story, like, and he had no turnovers. I'm like, I saw one.
Yeah.
So, creative.
I didn't remember it until you told me what it was.
You know what I'm talking about?
I remember what you're talking about now.
And granted, the game was under control and whatever, but they're trying to put pressure on him, and they might have bumped him, and he fell down. They lost the ball, and the Clippers got the ball, and I believe the Clippers made a foul then. That's a turnover.
Yeah.
Apparently, error created the turnover. Hawks-Bucks game 5 tonight. The winner, of course, of this series will play the Suns in Phoenix in game 1 of the NBA Finals. Trae Young is questionable to play. Clint Capella now questionable to play. He got hit in the face and the eye. The Bucks, Giannis, is doubtful. Although Mike Breen last night throughout the broadcast said he is out. But everything I've seen is doubtful.
Yeah, doubtful.
Which doesn't mean you're out.
I wouldn't expect him to play, but he's not been officially ruled out.
Right. I've seen guys doubtful. Like, Harden was doubtful.
Yeah.
And then he played.
I said it on the show, right? Because the Nets actually said it. They actually said the night before that he was out. Yeah. Like, he wasn't going to play.
Then all of a sudden he was doubtful, and then he played 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be shocked if Giannis plays tonight.
No.
But the good news is there's no structural damage on his injured left knee, so that's good. He hyperextended it in the third quarter of the game for a loss. So this is weird that the series is behind here. The Hawks-Bucks, they're just now playing game 5. Suns-Clippers just played game 6, so the Suns are going to have plenty of rest, and that's a big advantage for the Suns. And then the Hawks and Bucks, star players are all banged up. NHL game 2, by the way, Bucks-Hawks, that's in Milwaukee tonight without Giannis. Who you picking? The easy thing would be to go with the Hawks because Giannis is out, but we don't know if Trey's going to play. We don't know if Capella's going to play. I'm gonna stick on the Bucks wagon. I said the Bucks in 6 before this thing started. I'll stick with it since I flopped off of the Suns because I thought the Clippers and the Chris Paul jinx was happening. But I'm gonna say Bucks win tonight. With or without Giannis. They're going to do what the Hawks did. They're going to rally around an injured star who's on the bench. Guys are going to step up, like Middleton and Holiday. Brooke Lopez probably needs to step up. They've got guys that can do it.
Yeah. We're just going to call it the Paul George jinx now, right?
Okay.
Instead of Chris Paul, since he's made it now.
That's true. Good point. Good point.
But, I feel the same way. It's kind of like what we've seen throughout the playoffs, right? You lose your star, and then next game
you're all right.
Your focus, you're going to come out. I think maybe the Hawks are going to fall into that trap the Bucks fell into last game, right?
And the Bucks are at home, and role players typically better at home.
And that's why I'm going to pick the Bucks tonight.
I'm with you. That means bet your money on the Hawks tonight, especially when it comes from me. All right, in game 2 of the NHL playoffs, a team trying to go back-to-back.
Aaron Curry at 2. Here comes Goodrow. Time winding down. The pass across.
Tampa Bay Lightning are trying to go back-to-back. Stanley Cup champions, they get the goal right before the horn to end the second period last night at Tampa Bay. That gave them the lead. They kept the lead. They won 3-1. They're outshot 43-23, but still won 3-1. They're up 2-0 in the best of 7. And guess what? The NHL is on regular network television coming up on Friday. Yeah! Canadians and the Lightning, 7 o'clock on NBC. Super excited about that. Don't have to try to search for NBC Sports Network. That's a good deal. Good deal. Or USA. I didn't even know that network was still in existence. I thought they went belly up. I apparently was wrong. Maybe they were bailed out by the government. I have no idea. Tampa Bay, Montreal. All I got to say here is I'm very, very worried that when my Seattle Kraken make it to the Stanley Cup Finals, They're not going to be on network TV next year. I'm worried about this. That's why I bring it up every day about the hockey and the horrible TV deal. My Kraken. How are people going to know to release the Kraken if they can't see the Kraken, release the Kraken? It's Kraken. Kraken up, man. All right, the final thing we want to talk about, and it's a big story, but we want to save it to the end because there are a lot of other things that we need to get to. The NCAA Division I Board of Governors yesterday approved an interim policy that allows college athletes to monetize their names, images, and likenesses for the first time. This bridge waiver comes just one day before the NIL floodgates will be opened, which is now today, in 12 states. This waiver is intended to cover athletes nationwide and last until either federal legislation is passed or a more permanent NIL rule can be created by the NCAA. It sets minimal regulations for the new world of college sports, one in which athletes will be able to make money from endorsements, sponsorships, and social media, among other avenues. The approval by the board comes 2 days after a former recommendation from the Division I Council. NCAA President Mark Emmert, is there a worse president in all of organizations than Mark Emmert? He said in a statement, this is an important day for college athletes since they are all now able to take advantage of name, image, and likeness opportunities. With a variety of state laws adopted across the country, we will continue to work with Congress to develop a solution that will provide clarity on a national level. The current environment, both legal and legislative, prevents us from providing a more permanent solution and the level of detail student athletes deserve. The goal of the interim policy is to give athletes in states without NIL laws on the books the ability to take advantage of sponsorship opportunities without violating NCAA rules. So basically, it's a level playing field, which that makes sense. 12 states allow it. 38 obviously haven't yet. Now you just say everybody across the NCAA governing body, all the schools, all the athletes, yes, you can take advantage of the name, image, and likeness and make some money and so forth and so on. So individuals can engage in NIL activities that are consistent with the law of the state where the school is located. College and universities are responsible for determining whether those activities are consistent with state law. College athletes who attend a school in a state without an NIL law can engage in this type of activity without violating NCAA rules related to name, image, and likeness. Individuals can use a professional service provider for NIL activities. Student athletes should report NIL activities consistent with state law or school and conference requirements to their schools. Okay. There is a lot to unravel, and we don't have enough time to cover all the angles, that's for sure. But here's my first point. The NCAA drags their feet, can't do anything, and now all of a sudden, boom, there's an interim policy, and it's taken care of. That's amazing how that can work.
Yeah.
It's amazing when you have lawmakers in Congress putting pressure on you and calling you out, saying, hello, you've been violating antitrust laws for decades and years upon years, and you've been using your student athletes. I mean, that's what they basically said.
Mm-hmm.
And you profit off of it. This is what players have been saying for a very long time. There are people now saying, give Reggie Bush his Heisman back, you know, retroactive. J.J. Redick had a funny thing. He said, man, if I had made the money back in the day, I would have made a lot of money at Duke. And he's right. Some people argue he still did make money at Duke, but whatever. I could have made a lot more money legally at Duke had I had this. And then he talked about, I would have just wasted it on this, this, and this, which was pretty funny what he put out there, I thought. So, it's going to be interesting to see how this proceeds, because the NCAA is going to try to, I believe, I don't think it's a big secret, they're going to try to limit as much as they possibly can. And is Congress going to step in again? And is there going to be, are more states going to have their actual laws to allow it, joining the other 12, instead of just hiding behind a broad bridge waiver that the NCAA threw out there yesterday? There is a lot to be figured out and sorted out here. But if you believe the NCAA is just going to be like, all right, this is cool, let's just move on, I think you're very naive. They're going to try to limit as much as they can within their legal means. Mm-hmm. And I think they're doing this to show, hey, look, we're cool with it. We're progressing in the right way, because they got slapped in the face. There was like mom chastising their kid when the Supreme Court came down on the NCAA, mm-hmm. and all nine voted against the NCAA. In regards to, hey, guys, you've been violating the antitrust laws for all these years, and there's lots of examples that Brett Kavanaugh threw out there that, you know, in real life that doesn't happen, so why do they get to do it? I thought, put them in their place, at least for the time being. Now, whether or not people let up on that and the NCAA can regain some of the power they had, I don't know. But what does it mean to you, Dusty Dynas? What does it mean to you and for your favorite team, Kansas State, when you see this now being allowed across the board for NCAA athletes, for the athletes personally, it's great. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's great that they're allowed more freedom to do this, make some money off endorsements or their image, their likeness, or whatever. But what does it do in the broad scope of things? There, you know, people like Jay Billis has been very outspoken about this should happen a long time ago. I understand where he's coming from. I understand where athletes are coming from. I think it is, you know, universities making, their coaches are getting millions of dollars in shoe deals, and then the kids have the jersey that they put out there without their name on it, and everybody knows whose jersey it is, mm-hmm. and they're making all this money, and the kid's got his full ride scholarship, which is nice, no doubt, and that's worth something, no question. But I get that side of it. But I also wonder what it means for college athletics in the future if the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And I worry about a Pandora's box that has been opened now that you'll never be able to put the genie back in the bottle, which maybe is a good thing. But I just wonder where we go, because this is newfound territory that I think a lot of people thought maybe would never come.
Yeah. There's a lot of angles you can look at it.
Sure.
Because as you were talking about it, the jerseys, right, that don't have the names on them, something went through my mind. Like,
are they going to put their names on them now?
Yeah, so like K-State Superstore takes care of all the merchandising on campus at K-State games, right?
Right.
So now my question is, they're allowed now probably to make jerseys with the names of the players. But what does Superstore have to do? Do they have to give a percentage of a custom-made jersey to every player that has their name printed? I'm just thinking about that as you were saying.
What if you started college athletic trading cards? You know, there's a big baseball. We're talking about the sports card collecting. It's a craze. It's crazy right now. It's nuts.
Yeah.
Cards are going for tons of money. There was a soccer player card. It went $442,000 the other day. Mia Hamm's card as a USA soccer player the other day. I don't know if it was USA, but it was her team or the USA, was $34,000 for Mia Hamm soccer card. What happens if we start getting into the college athletic trading cards?
Mm-hmm.
And then players can make some money off of that, which if I'm a player, I'm like, I'd love to see my face and my name on a card. It might be worth something someday, and I get a percentage off that. I mean, where? I guess the question is, where do you draw the line, and where does this end once you open up the box?
Yeah, and where do individuals draw their own line, right?
Because, right.
I was reading the story.
I didn't approve you to use my likeness for this trading card company.
Yeah, well, and I'm reading the story yesterday about, you know, all the things that they could possibly do, you know, and get paid for autographs. So, like, are you going to be like one of these
sessions?
Jerk pro players that won't sign an autograph for a kid even because you're not getting paid for it, right? So, but as far as what the question you asked me, I feel like there's obviously plenty of marketing opportunities. I'm just coming at this as a K-State fan, right? And even as KU fans, right? There's obviously plenty of marketing opportunities for businesses in Lawrence and Manhattan, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think the scope and the amount of, you can go national too, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be local. I actually there's a story about some twins at Fresno State, I believe.
I'm going to hold that thought because I just pulled it up. Haley and Hannah Kavender, twin basketball players at Fresno State, have signed with Boost Mobile and Six Star Nutrition. The twins have a collective 645,000 followers across TikTok and Instagram. They're going to hold media appearances on Thursday, apparently today, including a live outing at Times Square. And this is a non-Power 5 women's basketball team, Fresno State, and twins already got this ready to unveil today, which is smart on their part.
Yeah.
And there was a TikTok video that came out yesterday for some K-State football players with Justin Bieber song, and it was made fun of a lot by people, including KU football people, and then Emmanuel Ocho, who's on ESPN or on Fox now with Texas, was making fun of it. It's like, dude, you've never beat K-State when you're a player, so that's kind of funny. He's talking about how bad it was and making fun of it. It's like, dude, you know who's going to have the last laugh? All those players in that video, or the one that has the main account. Was it Porter, Shane Porter, or whatever his name is?
Yeah, Porter, yeah.
Porter, yeah. He already going to be counting his money because that's where some of this is at. TikTok, Instagram, social media, and guess who knows social media better than anybody? The younger people, especially them.
Yeah.
So there's a reason that TikTok was put out there by K-State and that football player.
Yeah.
Because they know, you can make fun of it all you want. I'm going to make money probably off of you going to check it out. So that's just it's already wild. And it's just we're only 10 hours into it being legal. And we've got a session, a live outing for twin basketball players from Fresno State at Times Square. Because of their popularity on TikTok and Instagram.
Yeah.
And they've signed with two companies. Yeah, hello. The box has been blown completely up. And he ain't putting it back in.
Yeah, and so that's why I brought that in. And you had all the info. I had it somewhere. I'm glad you had it pulled up so you could actually tell people what I was thinking about. But Boost is not a Fresno, California business. Nope. Boost Mobile is national.
National.
Right? And that's why I bring that up is because, so, example, Skylar Thompson wants to do a spot for a local Manhattan business. They're going to pay him plenty of money to do it, right? They want him to be their spokesman now because he can, and they can pay him to do that. But
I give him a car to run around on campus and trade it out.
Yeah, let's say as a car dealership in Manhattan, right?
You give him a car every week to run around campus and promote your car company, and you don't even exchange money.
Yeah.
You just trade it out.
Yeah, but, okay, so if he's a Chevy dealer that he's dealing with in Manhattan, Chevrolet is going to go after Mac Jones, right? Like Alabama players that can promote, like the
big schools with all the exposure.
Like Najee Harris, you know, these guys are going to be able to go to national companies and get paid, and it's like Michael Jordan doing a commercial for McDonald's,
it's
right?
Called
like
free enterprise,
same thing. I mean, they're going
to sure.
I feel like if you're at one of those universities, you're going to have those better opportunities to get some national spot, unless you just blow everybody away as the best high school recruit in the country and you decide you're going to go to K-State or KU just to be different. I mean, you'll still have those opportunities probably nationally as well, but it's just like, I feel like there's opportunities, no question, no matter where you go.
Yes.
But there are bigger opportunities if you're at a bigger place.
Which is why we say the rich can rich get richer. Right, exactly. Here's one for you. Andrew Brandt puts this out on Twitter. He's follows at College Athletics, reports on it. Here's the problem with the NIL for athletic departments beyond compliance issues. Sponsors now may decide to divert their advertising budget away from the university and the school and put it towards the actual athletes. This will happen. And there's people here saying, good. How dare they create a fair open market? Insert sarcasm. This changes. Today is the day that changes the landscape of college athletics.
Absolutely.
This is a landmark, monumental day. Whether you're for it or against it, or like me, kind of in the middle, like if I'm an athlete, I understand it and I'm all for it. And if I'm on the other side going, like if I'm at K-State or Iowa State fan or even a KU football fan, I'm like, this ain't going to help us. Or maybe it will. I don't know. We might all be wrong because we don't know. We've never dealt with this before. Yeah. I mean, we could all be wet. We could all
we
be
project,
wrong.
Right.
We could all think that we have this figured out. And it might go different. It might actually level the playing field more than we can imagine because everybody can have an Instagram and a TikTok account and social media, and you can put stuff on your phones, and then you go viral, and it don't matter if you're at Alabama or if you're at Barton County Community College. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's going to be another thing. How does it affect all these levels, okay, in regards to the junior college ranks? There's a story about how does that affect this too?
Mm-hmm.
Because all these athletes can try to, you know, hit the big time, and now they're allowed to. Very interesting. And I have no idea how far this is going to go. I don't know if it's going to be, I will say this. It's like if you've ever been a farmer and you had a whole bunch of cows in a pen cooped up for a while, and then you just open up the gates. What is it? It's a stampede.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stampede out of the corral, and you better get the heck out of the way. That's how I feel right now. I feel like I just got to get the heck out of the way and let all these athletes stampede out into the great wide open, the unknown wide open, and let them have fun with this. And if they make money, great. They have the right to make money. And you think about it. That's the whole point of this whole argument, isn't it? They're people. They have a right to make money. And now they're allowed to do it via endorsements and this and that, or have appearances at Madison or at Times Square like the twin basketball players of Fresno State. A lot of people get caught up in the Power Five institutions. This is every single college athlete.
Yeah, if and,
under
and
the NCAA,
if you've already marketed yourself like these particular twins have from Fresno State.
You're ready to.
All you got to do is find a partner, right?
Yeah, and they found
people
two.
Know who you are already,
right?
Just by all the followers you have on TikTok. Now you got to find a partner that's willing to take a chance on you and move on. So that's good. That's universal. That's not just. That's at Fort Hayes. I mean, if you have something built up like that.
How about this one? Here's one high major assistant coach sarcastically saying, I don't think I'm even going to bother going out on the road to recruit during the month of July. I'm just going to work on NIL deals for players and recruits. That's probably the best way to get players now anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about changing the landscape.
Yeah.
It changes recruiting.
Oh, absolutely it does.
You wonder why Roy Williams and Coach K, Coach K's getting out next year, even though Coach K says it had nothing to do with all this. It's baloney. I don't buy that for a second. And Roy Williams got out, and there's a few other coaches, older coaches, have been getting out. This is why.
Yeah. I mean, Roy said it. This is part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. When you get older, you're less likely to want to learn brand-new technology, right?
Yeah.
You've known it for all these years, and all of a sudden, like, you've run a tractor or a combine or a semi-truck or a car for all these years, and all of a sudden it's going to be all electronics, and you can't have – and it's going to be push-button this or that. And you're just like, man, I don't know what to do. It's completely different. And this is what's happening now. I mean, some amazing comments are coming out there in regards to the NIL that is now allowed. Here's another player. Who is this? Will Ulmer, who plays at Marshall, not Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Ohio State. Now that the NCAA will allow it, I will be playing live shows as a musician this year as Will Ulmer, and I am open to all venues and business opportunities. DM me if you're interested. So he wants to go play concerts and make money. And why not? Why not?
Those are the kind of things that are insane about you have to...
You weren't allowed to do it in the first place.
Law like this for him to be able to go do something that has nothing to do with this football.
Right.
But they'll say, well, you got all that money because people know who you are because of football.
Right.
That's how they get around that. But that's what's insane. The insane part about this is, like, can't even go do a concert.
How about this one? Here's another angle. We could go on forever on this. Heard this happening in NIL regarding a top football program. A flagship radio station is going to pick 5-star players. They will come on for a segment every week of the season and earn $25,000 for the year for making an appearance on the radio. Never thought about that angle.
Yeah.
This is insane. Let's see. Here's another one. It's going to be a cluster bleep, a college athletic source said. It's not a cluster bleep, according to Jay Billis. When the NCAA sells players for billions, only when athletes benefit. The NCAA's failures in leadership brought this day. The NCAA is unprepared. The free market is not. He makes a great point. The NCAA has never been prepared for this. You know why? Because they never thought it would happen. They thought their power and everything else, and they would never have to see this day. Mm-hmm. The NCAA grossly underestimated their opponent, and now they're getting their butt kicked. And honestly, I love to see that. I do love to see that angle because I like when the big boy gets taken down a peg or two, and I love when people get super cocky and confident and then they have to come back down to earth. I do like to see that. And the NCAA is completely unprepared because their leadership, let's just say it honestly, has sucked. And they didn't think that they would have to deal with this. They thought they'd be protected. It's been this way all this time. And here it is. They're unprepared. And now all people are freaking out within college athletics or at the NCAA. That's going to be a mess. It's going to be, like I said, the Pandora's box is open. And they're freaking out. And it's like, guess what? The free market is, like, ready to welcome you with open arms because they've been waiting for this day for a long time, as have the athletes. And it says here, Sports Illustrated, it's going to be a cluster bleep. Welcome to a new NCAA era. Yes, that could be true, but it is a new era. College athletics has officially changed, and it will never be the same. Today is a day that changed. Mark it. It'll be a trivia question someday. July 1st, 2021. College sports has completely changed. How it's going to impact your favorite college and your favorite team, we have no idea. We can predict all we want. We have no idea. It could be the greatest thing ever happened for smaller universities and every Power Five. It could be the worst thing, and the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, as we have suspected, but we may be dead wrong on that.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be very, very interesting. And then how does it affect the players with the big personas? And obviously exposure are going to make more money than somebody that's on the rugby team, right?
Yeah.
But there are ways for the person on the rugby team to make money in different ways by going viral with a TikTok video and not have to worry about being in trouble for playing a concert at a local bar and grill. And that has been stupid. You know, I remember the Eric Crouch, I got to pay back $5 for a sandwich back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I got on a plane and he had got a sandwich and he had to pay it back or it was a violation. So those type of things are don't have to worry about anymore. Thank God. And the NCAA didn't have enough people to enforce anything anyway.
Yeah.
But now the question is, are it just can you make as much money as you possibly can? And if that's the case, then there's more likelihood that you can stay and not go to the pros, I guess. Mm-hmm. In some cases, you might want to really, really beg for another year of eligibility because you have another year of earning power, because once you graduate, you lose that because you're not going to go play in the pros. There's another angle.
Yeah.
Woo! This is going to be crazy, baby.
Yeah, this is a lot of things that could change a lot of everything.
This is going to be fascinating to follow. Have a great day, everyone.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.